Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Written Magazine publisher Michelle Gibson. Who do I have on the line with me?
This is Bernice.
Hi, Bernice. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I can. And we've added somebody else. Who else is on the line?
Okay.
Hello, is someone else on the line?
Yeah,
no,
JD's on.
Hi, JD.
Hey,
hi, JD. How are you?
Good.
This is Michelle Gibson with Written. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Okay, so we're just waiting on Rashonda. How are you ladies doing this afternoon?
Fine, after
good.
The rainstorm we had.
Oh, yeah, it just stopped raining here as well. Looks like the sun is trying to come out a little bit, so... we'll give Rashonda a few more minutes. I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
So if we don't hear from Rashonda, I'll just wait and see if she pops in. But I know your time is very scheduled, so I want to be respectful of that. So I have talked with both of you all independently, but this is the first time for a collaboration. I think, Bernice, we're trying to do a signing with you here in Atlanta next year.
Right.
So congratulations on finding Amos. It was heart-wrenching and more complex than I thought it could be with three very distinct voices. So help me understand how the premise for finding Amos came together and then who wrote which voices.
Well, that's JD, but I don't know. JD, do we want to reveal who wrote what?
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I have a guess. Rashonda, are you
yeah,
on?
I didn't want to. Yeah, I am. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Rashonda.
I just asked my first question, and everybody got quiet because the book, I have a guess of who I think the premise of the book came from and who wrote which voices. And I was asking for that to be revealed, and they were like, I don't know if we want to do that.
I don't know what the other ladies want, but I think it's fun to leave it up to the readers. I'm waiting for the reviews to come in to see what who people kind of match each voice to, each character to.
I agree. I think so, too. I think we should just leave it. That was the premise. That was the point of not identifying going in who was writing what. So I think it's better to leave it.
Okay, and I wasn't sure. You know, I did some trolling on the internet, and I was like, well, let me. Okay, so I'm just going to put my 2 cents in for whatever it's worth. And then whenever you all do the big reveal, we'll visit this moment in time to see if I was right.
Okay.
So the premise feels like J.D. Mason, and I think Case is Bernice. I think Tamika is J.D., and I think Toya is Rashonda.
Okay,
so that's my bet. So whenever you all decide to do your reveal and however it comes, just make sure that we go back to listen to this audio clip. The thing that brought
it's
me
not coming
to want...
I know I'm not revealing it, so I do my eulogy. So somebody does my eulogy, so that's the way it is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it may never come
but
out.
Why,
it may go to the grave.
Why I got to be the loose one? Why I got to be the loose one, though?
So, Rashonda, I know you. That's... And I guess that's the interesting thing about knowing all of your writing individually. I was pleasantly surprised at how seamless everything came together. So the theme of what I'm writing about and wanting to talk to you all about specifically is about collaboration. And I know you all have done other works with other people, but how was it to do a novel of this character with a gentleman as the main protagonist or antagonist, however you want to call it, and having the sisters as the alternate voices. How was that collaborating with you all in different locations?
It was challenging. It had its challenges for sure. Just because we're all in different locations. We're so far removed from each other, but I think we really, you know, I think the best collaboration has come from people who really know each other really well. And mm-hmm. I know Rashonda to some degree, and I know of Bernice, but I was just a fan of their work. But knowing them personally, you know, on a deeper level, I think it makes it more challenging.
Okay.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I'm a big fan, and Bernice was like a literary icon, so you feel a form of intimidation. But it was a thrill to be able to merge voices. And I think what really did it was having a respect, that respect for authors that you know who respect the craft of writing.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, again, I think I've only met JD twice in the past few years. I see Rashonda a little bit more often, probably once a year. And I'm familiar with their work. So when I was invited onto the project, I was really excited because we are such different writers. And I was really excited to see and interested to see what we would create together with all these three distinct voices coming together. And it was challenging because I think at that point we were all in different time zones.
Oh, wow.
Rashonda was still in Texas. Yeah, I think we were all in different time zones. And so it was, yes, it was challenging, but it was challenging in a good way.
So with you all having such established careers in writing, was the most challenging part developing the concept of the book or, you know, advancing the plot of the book or coming into agreement with each of the personalities that you were developing for the book and how they would all merge together?
I feel that part really fell on the shoulders of one person.
Okay.
That person wants to say.
The concept holder.
I'll be the concept holder.
Okay. So I was right.
So that one person had to deal all that.
It was all challenging because, you know, in a sense we were each telling, in a sense we were almost like writing separate books in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Then you have to pull them all together and weave them together and fold them into each other to make one book.
Right.
So it was tough with all the way around from character development to the plot development. It was just tough. But I think, like I said, like everyone says, that everybody here is, you know, these two ladies are so, so talented and they do care about, you know, you can just, whatever they write their name on the sidewalk, I'm going to stop and read it. So they're just so talented and so, you know, it was such an honor for both of them to say yes. I was, you know, it was just scary because I'm like, oh God, are they going to say, you know, are they going to want to do this? And so to get together with them and to try to work this out, it was hard, but, you know, the respect was there, and I think that was, like Rashonda said, that was everything.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So as the book is getting published and you're finding that it's well received, I've been looking at some of the reviews. Is this a type of collaborative work that you see yourself doing in the future?
Not me.
Who said
this is tough. Rashonda does it all the time. She does it with Victoria, and they do a great job. Their symmetry is magnificent. I just think that they're brilliant together. So I think you really have to have a really strong relationship to make something like that. Where Virginia DeBerry, Donna Grant, they go to a room together and stay there until they finish the book. I mean, it really is that intimate an experience. If you want to, you know, and I think that's important that you do have that kind of relationship.
I think I would, maybe not with a book,
okay.
Maybe a screenplay or something like that.
So
I don't mind the process.
Yeah, it seems, and again, the best editors are the ones that make things seamless. So it read easy, which is good because especially in what we do, and we always find collaborative works, if the voices aren't well married and if things aren't well edited, it falls apart pretty quickly. And, it's hard to try to, it's almost like grudging through quicksand. Like, it's hard to keep reading if you know that the voices aren't in harmony or that the story isn't being told as one story. But with writing changing and publishing changing, I could definitely see how, with the success of Rashonda and Victoria and the history of Barry and Grant, how readers will come to love concepts like this and, want more of it. Because when I saw the cover, I just kept looking at it. I was like, these three ladies? I love all of your work, but they're so very different. And then when I started reading the characters, I honestly was going back and forth between, okay, now is that Rashonda? It might be Rashonda, but wait, what if it's JD? Which was, to me, a part of the fun of reading the book.
That's good to hear. Maybe, the authors will get together and start doing more collaborations. I think that would be fun.
Yes, I do. I enjoy them. I enjoy the collaborations. As JD said, it can be challenging. I think you, with us three, we had have very different and unique voices. So the challenge of merging all of those three voices together, that's what can be prove challenging. But I love the challenge of stepping up to something like that, and so that's why I really do like collaboration.
It felt like the father, even though each daughter came from a different perspective, was loved. Even in the disliking, you could tell at the pit of him, there was a love or a need to be loved or need to love him. Is that kind of like the thread that ran through each of you all's minds as you were writing your respective sister?
For me, it was. Rashonda, that was for you.
No, it was me. Go ahead, Bernice.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm trying to. I'm having an echo here, so I'm not really clear who's talking at what time. I think I absolutely came from my own personal experience with my dad, and there was certainly, for lack of a better aphorism, a love-hate relationship. There.
Okay. And Rashonda?
I think the same thing. I think that most children, for you to actually hate your parent, I think it takes a lot. Earth-shattering things. Most kids, at the core, love their parents, need their parents' love. And so I think that with these women, at least from my character's perspective, it was always that need. That even though that person didn't want to admit it to herself, it was still there because that is her father. And that was the way it was with my father. We weren't close in the end, but still, there was always that underlying need for his acceptance, his love, or whatever. So I think that's just children in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a stretch for me because I am a daddy's girl. And so I think that's one of the reasons that I enjoyed writing this character who was so vastly different and just exploring the dynamic of a flawed father-daughter relationship.
So take me through each person's writing process, and I'll start with you, JD. Because this was long distance and it was multiple voices, was your writing of your parts of this book any different than you attack any of your individual novels?
No, it wasn't. I pretty much stuck to what I know. I just stuck to what I know. It was interesting to see the other two parts, eventually see them all together. But yeah, I just stuck to what I knew.
Okay, Bernice?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I don't think I strayed too far away from what I usually do.
And Rashonda?
And for me, in terms of writing a collaboration, this one was a little bit different because when I do my collaborations with Victoria, we do chapter by chapter. She writes a chapter, send it to me. I feed off of it and write a chapter and send it back. And so this one was more isolated, and then we brought them all together. So it's like JD said before, we created the stories, each sister's individual story, and then brought them all together to merge them.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Okay. That's very mm-hmm. enlightening, because I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought that you all, maybe not chapter by chapter, but, you know, section by section as his development, as Amos's development happened in the book. I don't want to give too much away, but
see,
I was thinking
that's
that.
We're good.
That.
We're good like that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I kept going back and forth like, this has to be JD. No, what if it's Bernice? Like, but it was a lot of fun hearing it. And your creative processes, just because I know your bodies of work, what would you attribute the one thing in being able to articulate your voice as a writer? And we can start with JD on this one. What would be one thing, whether it's, you know, a teacher or a passion for reading or just the longevity in the business, for being able to articulate your vision or voice in your writing?
Mine is music.
Okay.
It always comes back to music for me. So I listen to a song or listen to my playlist, and some song evokes a feel that I'm looking for, a vibe that I'm looking for. So I utilize the creative juices, if you will, from music.
And
as I get,
all right.
Yeah.
And Rashonda?
Yeah, you know, I'm not as deep as them. I'm looking for good inspiration all the way around. If I'm in Starbucks and you talking about what you caught your man doing last night, I'm eavesdropping.
that's me.
I love it. And Bernice?
I think I'm probably most inspired by poetry.
Okay.
So I have, usually when I'm writing, I have a number of different volumes of poetry on my desk or on my bed, wherever I'm writing, and passages from some of my favorite novels. Especially when I feel stuck, I'll turn to one of those passages, and it's just like lighting a fire, and then, you know, it just moves me along through the narrative.
Wow,
see, they feel like roots, and I feel like love and hip hop.
And that's why I guess the right sister for you. Like, I already know. I think I got the right sister. So, of course, you all get asked this a lot, and I would be remiss if I did not ask it, but what would be your piece of advice for writers coming up? And you all have had, you know, plenty of years in writing, but what would be your advice for people who are just now entering into publishing, with you all have seen ups and downs and digitals and non-digitals and back to books and, you know, everything. So what would be your piece of advice for writers? And we can start with you, Rashonda.
You know, just do it. It's as simple as that. Every minute you spend talking about what you don't have time to do could be spent doing it. So I'm just a firm believer in stop talking about doing whatever it is you want to do, whether it's write a book, get a book finished, or open a business, whatever it is, stop talking about doing it and do it.
Exactly.
Good. Bernice?
You know, commit yourself to the art, because like Rashonda said, people will talk about it, no one's, everybody's talking and no one's sitting down and putting in the time. You have to put in the time. You're going to have to sacrifice. That's a large part of being in this business. I mean, you know, you work on a book for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and you look up and your friends have gone on with their lives. You now have to try to do this re-entry. It happens every single time. But it's, if you are aware of that in the beginning, it might not be so difficult. I didn't know that when I came into the business. I thought that I could really do and have it all, but that's not the case, at least not for me. So just commit yourself and know that in order to get what it is you want, you're going to have to let go of some of the things that you think you need in your life.
Amen.
JD?
Yeah, I did what both of them said. You know, everybody, yeah, I talk to people all the time and want to write a book. But I'm like, well, write a book and just stop talking about it. I can't tell you the last time I had a weekend. You know, I work constantly. 7 days a week I'm working. And just talking about I want to write a book is not going to write the book. You know, so write the book. It gets a little tedious sometimes hearing that, and it's like, okay, but, you know, while I'm sitting here talking to you for this hour, I really could be writing my book.
Right. All right.
I get it. It's not fun. It's tedious. It's hard work. It's lonely. There are plenty of other things you want to do when the sun's shining, but, you know, it's like, okay, the work needs to be done.
And I think that's a part of what separates people who have longer careers and not. It's about, I guess, the amount of sacrifice that you're willing to put into the art and the care that you take with the craft, because all three of you all are masters of research. It's not even just that you have wonderful characters, which they're always the type that jump off the pages, but you believe the spaces and the places that are being created in the page. And that's the, you know, the minute details are the things that keep people involved in wherever they are and what's going. Like even the opening passages of Finding Amos, and, you know, I'm from Mississippi. So when I was reading and he was driving, and then how it flashed between him having an Alzheimer episode versus, you know, being where he was and being present and flashbacks to the past. I think those type of care and detail can only happen if you're dedicated to your craft. So it was a very successful collaboration, ladies. I was looking at the cover like, what? But I could definitely see how the three came together, which is really interesting knowing that you all were able to create in isolation and then bring things together to craft the final project. So hats off to you. That was really good.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So the issue that I'm working on is on collaboration. So as soon as I finish the story, we'll let Melissa know. But this podcast was live, and we'll put it on our website, and you can share it with whomever if you like.
Thank you.
Okay, absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Ladies. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye. Y'all have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.